Very much. Yeah, difficult question on what top down or perhaps unilateral things states can do, and I think beyond what I already said earlier, don't want to start repeating myself, but I think there are many areas where states can act unilaterally without compromising perhaps security interests and just lead by example, especially in terms of data sharing, notification of activities, more transparency. Now, it's never going to be complete, as we already heard from my colleagues on the panel, and we have to accept that there will be limits on the amount of transparency and data sharing, but there's a lot more that can be done than what is being done right now. I think in terms of the question of stabilizing, destabilizing, again, what is stable is a political concept. It's very subjective. It's not a technical concept. Why do some countries have hundreds of nuclear weapons ready to launch at a minute's notice, and some others are fine with maybe a dozen? There are different ideas of what is tolerable and stable in those situations, and what counts as stable and destabilizing is a very, very complicated, and ultimately political conversation about tolerance of threat and risk. So there's no easy answer to that, especially when, as already been hearing, and throughout all this week, satellites are dual use. They have many military applications as well as civilian and non-military applications, and the systems that are used for nuclear early warning detection are also used to monitor forest fires and things like that, and also to track some conventional military activities as well, or detect at least. So that's trying to square a circle that we're not going to resolve. So again, I don't like to talk in terms of stabilizing or destabilizing myself, but being a good academic, I find problems with words better than maybe practical solutions to things. But I think in terms of thinking what is really a problem, what isn't, or what is perhaps a genuine threat or not, the wider context really matters, and we have to be careful that we don't excessively talk of space technologies in complete isolation from what may be happening on the ground. So if countries have managed to establish normal patterns of behavior for the past 10 years in the way they do certain things, and then suddenly the behavior of certain military satellites might change, at the same time there's a major crisis on Earth, then of course that may raise alarm bells in some places, as opposed to if a posture of a military constellation of satellites changed quite a lot, but there was no associated crisis or anything else of note going on Earth either. So the wider terrestrial context really matters in terms of when does a technology or a system become threatening, or a particular act as well. So again, I think when it comes to discussing space systems, we have to be aware of the wider geopolitical and terrestrial context in which behaviors might happen, because in some contexts they won't be threatening, but in others they could be interpreted as threatening. And then I guess in terms of going back to where the question started on sort of top-down norms or what states can do to establish norms, well, there's a propensity in these discussions in many countries where there's an assumption that there are no norms in space. The lack of agreements on things, or the lack of rules of the road or traffic control, means that there are no norms. Well, no, there are many norms in space. One of the biggest is that everyone has established that the military exploitation of Earth orbit is normal behavior, because all the military powers are at it. The P5 in particular, they've established that norm that the use of Earth orbit for military purposes, for terrestrial military operation support, is acceptable. And that is a norm. So we have to get away from the idea that a norm is only a good thing that you want, because there is such a thing as norms of behavior for things we may not actually like. So if you don't like the military uses of outer space, then that is a norm that you don't like. So we have to get away from the idea that there are no norms in space just because there aren't the ones that we like. So I guess that's sort of because we can look at what states have already done to establish what is normal behavior in the way they have interpreted the provisions of the Outer Space Treaty, which in their interpretation, and including all the P5 of the UN Security Council, have agreed in terms of allowing their contemporary activities. So I think we have to understand that norms can mean a broader thing than just building the sort of rules that we would like. Thank you.